right. And welcome to the Aging Well Together show. Hope you enjoyed just a few moments of the song Mayfly. It's still in the background because I'm dancing around to it. This song is by the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet. I love them. I'm actually going to see them tomorrow night. I promise you'll hear more of the song at the end of the show. So we are the Aging Well Together show. It's our new weekly show coming to you on 103.5 FM, WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. We are also available to stream via WCOM's website, WCOMFM.org, or through your streaming services, including TuneIn Radio and Radio Garden. So many thanks for listening to us in any way that you are coming to us. Aging Well Together is a weekly radio program brought to you by the fabulous folks from the Orange County Department on Aging. Please continue to join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information on any of the issues we discuss today or any day, or to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, or please connect with the Orange County Department on Aging. They can be reached at 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. Now, for me, I am your happy host, Heather Altman. I've spent the last 20-plus years working in aging services locally. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and now at 52, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. I'm also joined today by my wonderful co-host, Alicia Reed, who is an instructor extraordinaire for a number of the Senior Center programs through Orange County Department on Aging. Hi, and welcome back, Alicia.
Hey, Heather.
You were just so happy. You are enjoying this steamy station. You were just saying you love it, and I am too steamy. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing well today. I'm glad to be. I went all the way to Roxboro today.
Oh, you went all the way to Roxboro
all the way
today
to get our guest.
Oh, I'm so excited about our guest. All right, so let's jump into this. All right, I'm excited that you brought with you Patty Meehan. Did I say it right, Patty?
Yes.
Okay, great. Patty, this is my first time you and I are meeting. So in this steamy station, we're first meeting. You had the most wonderful introduction from Alicia. She emailed me and she shared that you're a master. I know she's like sending mean eyes now to Alicia. What did you say? She told me that you're a master gardener and that you've run a number of cool programs at the senior centers. And she also said about you, Patty is a strong and make things happen woman with an inspiring, motivational life of involved activities to share.
Who paid you? That's all true.
Well, welcome, Patty. And here, you can put the microphone a little bit closer to you so that way our guests will be able to hear you. Alicia's helping her put it. I know people come in, they get a little scared of the microphones. Not me. I love it.
Does
super
it bite?
Close. No, it doesn't bite, but maybe it'll throw some air conditioning at us. Patty, welcome to Aging Well Together show. I guess it's a weird first question, but why are you so fabulous? Tell us all about yourself. What brought you into the world of gardening and crafting, and basically what brought you and Alicia together to bring you here today? You sound fabulous.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm speechless. She
nothing
has it
like,
all written out, so
nothing
she knows
like
that,
praise.
That's right. That's
to
right.
To sort of mess with people a little bit. Yeah, you came prepared,
and you don't even have to do it word by word. You can just let it go.
Yeah, just where are you from, and what brought you?
Oh,
to
well,
this area?
I can tell you that.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I was asked to be on the show by Alicia. She didn't tell me all this other stuff. Otherwise, I would have thought differently. No. Alicia and I have been friends for about 6 years. She feels that I have a story to tell, so I'll tell my story.
Great.
I was born and raised in a northern suburb of Detroit, Michigan. I've been married for 27 years. I have 4 children. 2 llamas and 2 cats.
Uh-oh. Can we ask questions as we go?
I knew the llamas were coming. I actually got a little prepped. I have questions. But I love how she went from 4 children Two llamas and two cats.
Those are my children.
Yes, we're going to hear about your special fur babies in a moment. All right, what else are you telling us about yourself?
In January of 2005, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Some people don't know or aren't aware of Parkinson's, but it's pretty much out there. A lot of actors and actresses and people of importance, I guess I could say.
Yeah, you've got Michael J. Fox has been talking a lot about his journey and some other folks. Yeah.
Yeah. Parkinson's is slowly progressive disorder generally associated with trembling of the limbs, stiffness, rigidity of the muscles, and slowness of movement. To date, there is no known cause and no cure. But it's getting closer. We hear that all the time from Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
But it is. Researchers believe that both environmental and genetic factors play a role in the development of the disease. You mentioned Michael J. Fox, mm-hmm. also Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
And he was a boxer, so being hit in the head numerous times, was that a cause? We still don't know. But it is not a death sentence. You can live many years with Parkinson's. My mom was diagnosed at the age of 49. I was also diagnosed at the age of 49.
Oh, that's so interesting. All right, you keep going, but me and Alicia are looking at each other like, wow, that is there a genetic connection to it that you both your mom? Okay, well, keep going, and then we'll start asking questions.
You can live with it. You can continue on with your life. When my mom was diagnosed, there was only one pill that would help her in her movement. Now there's numerous pills, medications, I should say, surgeries to relieve some of the symptoms. However, there is no surgery for a cure. Having a positive attitude is really the best medicine, if you will, that you can do for yourself. After being diagnosed, I refuse to let PD get me down and will continue to do what I love to do, just a bit slower. But we all are getting a bit slower, right?
Absolutely.
Just to name a few of the things that keep me going, as Alicia mentioned, gardening. I've always loved to garden. I became an advanced master gardener in Michigan. I was a master gardener in North Carolina, but I didn't turn in all my volunteer hours. So I hope those that are master gardeners in North Carolina don't hate me. So a little shout out for master gardeners. These are volunteers. They do not get paid a penny for the beautification they create.
Oh, I didn't know.
So give them a pat on the back and a thank you.
And a tip.
And a tip.
A real monetary
tip.
I didn't realize
the tips that we get are when we're cleaning out the bushes and we find, like I did, a $5 bill.
Oh.
That was exciting.
Yeah, well, that's
Is it finders keepers?
Yes.
Can you find jewelry and, you know.
I was afraid to go in and tell anybody because I thought maybe they'd take it away. But give them a pat on the back and just say thank you. I created numerous gardens primarily at medical care facilities because I'm a senior freak. I worked at Michigan's largest nursery doing display gardens, working in production and retail. And not to forget to mention my boss's home. I began noticing a tremor in my left hand, which became worse. I went out to take care of the llamas, and I went back in the house, and I always wave at them when I'm going in, and my hand wouldn't wave. It just was, like, still. So I thought, oh, didn't think anything of it. And then I do it again, and I'm walking around the house trying to wave my hand. And I knew something was up, and I pretty much knew what it was. I was seen by a movement disorder specialist, a.k.a. neurologist, but they have, I believe it's an extra year of education to become a movement disorder specialist. I had to leave the job I love, but continued to do gardening, volunteering, but at my own pace. After moving to North Carolina due to my husband's job, I started looking for somewhere to help garden. I met a friend at the Passmore Center, Sportsplex, who also has PD. Then there was this lady working in what used to be the old Passmore Garden. So I walked up to her. I asked her if I could help. And she said I had to go in and fill out volunteer papers. So I did. And it wasn't too long after that she called me up and told me that she had health issues. And she told me to take over the garden.
That was Joan.
That was Joan.
Oh, wow.
That was Joan.
She didn't ask. She told me to
take over. You were voluntold.
Voluntold.
I love that term.
I like that.
Yeah.
A new building addition was put on the Passmore Center. New cement walkways were put in with all the old garden plants. And I was given a clean slate to design a new garden. Still doing what I love to do, even with PD. I need not say more. Stop by and take a look for yourself. It's a whimsical garden. Watching people walk by and stop and stare or see something funny in the garden that gives them a smile makes the backaches all worth it. Aww. And the broken fingernails.
Right.
I have six wonderful helpers. I couldn't do it without them. And Alicia's one of them.
Oh, that would make it 5.5.
And I've noticed how beautiful it is. I need to pay attention more when I go over to the Passmore Center in Hillsboro. I didn't realize you are the woman behind the greenery, the woman behind the whimsicalness.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
My other positive that keeps me going is I'm a llama mama, as I mentioned.
Llama mama. I hadn't heard that before. That's great.
A llama mama.
My husband and I have raised four llamas. We lost two, but have the two goofiest ones left. We have worked together and have taken them to numerous medical care facilities, all in Michigan, because we no longer have a trailer. We have had kids come to see them, and when they come, we have a little session where we learn how to put our hands behind their back and not scream and not run.
Oh, okay.
Does
that set off the llamas? I don't know. Alicia and I are having a hard time not asking you questions.
Yeah,
we're letting you do your opening statement.
Yeah.
It's like your testimony.
Okay.
And we're like, all right, we got questions.
I'll wait.
We have llama questions.
Okay.
But go on.
So the kids line up, and I tell them to put their hands behind their back. That's what I'm doing now, even though you can't see me.
All right, well, I'll do it. Alicia, put your hands behind the back.
Okay,
here we go.
Okay, here we go.
And no screaming.
That's hard.
No running.
Okay.
Just let the llamas come up to you.
That's hard.
Okay. All right. Right now, it's just like not real llamas, and we're already freaked out.
That's right.
Okay. All right, so you let the llamas come up.
They
You're
come
supposed
up.
To just be peaceful.
They're going to sniff you. One of the llamas we had loved people's feet.
Oh, okay.
So they would go up, or he would go up and sniff their feet, and the little kids would get a little antsy, like they, had to go to the bathroom and say, "Patty, Miss Patty, he's tickling me. I can't stand still anymore."
I think that that myth about llamas.
There's a myth about llamas.
Yeah.
I don't know facts about llamas to know
Radio
enough about.
Radioland knows the myth about llamas. Come on,
there is a myth.
What's the myth? Oh, they spit at you?
Yes.
Do they spit?
Oh, see, I did know that. Do they? I assume they do.
Well, yes, they do.
But they don't.
They are part of the camelid family.
Okay. But will they spit if you run? I mean, what happens if you run?
They'll run away.
Oh,
You want them to come up and be
Got it. So they won't
friendly.
Run after you and attack you. It's more that they'll
so
run
what
away.
Makes them, what makes us have the myth that llamas spit on us when they see us?
Well, mistreatment.
Oh.
So they don't spit?
They do. I've had them for 26 years. Have I had one spit on me?
See, it's not a myth then. It's a
no.
fact. These are
but
our
you've
fun
never
facts.
Had one. She's never had one spit on her for
because
that many
Because she
years.
Knows how to treat them well.
Oh. You've not
Have they
had
spit
one
on one
spit?
Of the kids?
Whose hands weren't behind their back?
All right.
No. I don't say anything to them about spitting to kids.
Their parents did.
Yes, okay. Their parents did.
Oh, so the kids were all scared about that. I was like, how do we get on spitting to begin with? It's when the kids come, they're scared that they're going to spit.
Yeah. I had taken one of them to the nursery for Oktoberfest, and the maintenance guys made this nice little corral for him with hay and straw. And I was just going to let him stand in there with a little fence going around him. He wanted nothing to do with it. So he's walking out, and he's leading me. Which is odd, because they usually follow. And we went out to the tree and shrub area, and these three little kids came up and said, "Can we pet him? Can we pet him?" And you pet him with the back of your hand on the neck, and they're good.
It's like the Queen's wave, what you're doing right now. Listeners, yes. If you could see her, the way, remember how, like, yeah. Queen Elizabeth had that sort of interesting wave with her yes. fingers, yeah. and just, like, that's what you're doing. So that's how you pet a llama.
Yes.
Called the Queen Elizabeth wave.
Because if you go with your hands, they immediately think, you're going to choke me. You're going to put you.
All these defensive. Okay.
Just like a dog
because
growls.
Because their necks are like giraffes.
Yeah, okay. And so what happened? This kid petted the wrong way and got...
No, he asked if they could pet him, and I said, sure. And Flashy is very mellow.
I like that name.
I was going to ask, what are the llama's names? And you said, so one of them's named Flashy.
Flashy. And the little boy went up to pet him, and people, were, of course, started circling around because why is there a llama in the tree and shrub area? And the father comes out and just... I hope he's not listening. He comes out.
He's a loyal listener of the Aging Well Together show, this strange kid's dad. All right.
He comes out and he goes, "Don't you dare touch those animals." And then, number one, there's only one. And the little boy says, "Why?" She said we can pet them. And he looked at his kids and looks at me, and they spit.
Well, so does your little boy. But, you know, we're nice to him, too. Okay, so go on. So then...
See, that's the story. It comes from the adults.
It comes from the adults. But, and I'm sorry, Jack Hanna, it comes from you. Because every time that he does a show and he does llamas, you'll see llamas come running up behind him and they will spit.
And so he's not treating them well. Uh-huh.
He's not.
Interesting.
He's not. It's like llamas are guard animals. They're pack animals. My boss had two, and he had three sheep, and they were coyotes.
Okay.
So the llama will protect the coyote, or protect the sheep from the coyotes. One llama will herd the sheep into the barn, and another llama will be standing out, waiting for the coyote, and will let out this really. I can't do it.
Okay.
But it's a loud
noise.
It's loud.
I know it when I hear it. Look, I know that I'll whistle and throw Heather off so we won't make the noise.
You did whistle one on the previous show. Okay.
It's loud. Yip, 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 yip. And the coyote will take off.
Take off.
I witness this. So they're not what we need.
So you want to live well? Hey, here's what you do. Take this tool set. I'm about to hand to you. You got to live smart, eat right, strive for the best, and always have the sound. Say no to stress. Education is key, so you got to work hard. This is the heart of living well. Now let's start.
This is, now I'm displaying my complete ignorance, and we were trying to discuss this as a family. What's the difference between an alpaca and a llama? And they were saying something about some of my family members about the humps, or I don't know. Disabuse me, educate me. What is the difference between a llama?
There are no humps in llamas or alpacas.
Well, then they were wrong. They were messing it up
are
with
they
camels.
Cousins?
Someone's laughing in the other room. Carl, are you laughing? Carl's for Colorful Creative People, our previous host, is like, what are the three of you talking about? Llama. This is an important Aging Well Together discussion.
And you might see a llama one day. You want to make sure it's not a
That's
alpaca.
What they thought. They were,
this
I
is
thought
a need
saying,
to know.
All right, so what's the difference between an alpaca, a llama, and a camel?
Oh, my goodness. You added a camel.
I did.
A camel has a hump.
Okay.
A llama does not.
Okay.
An alpaca does not.
Okay, so then how are alpaca, are they like cats and dogs? How are alpaca and llamas? Because I confuse them.
Camel is big.
Yeah.
Llama is medium. Alpaca is...
Okay, so
an alpaca looks like a baby llama.
Okay, that's what I was saying. Take away the camel and let's just do the llama and the... So you're saying the difference is it's smaller.
Llamas are taller. Alpacas are smaller. So that's why people have it. And like people do the wool, and they get alpaca sweaters.
Can you do a llama
sweater?
You can feel the llama wool and then feel the alpaca wool, and the alpaca wool is... so much nicer.
Okay,
so
that's why
really
people
soft.
Don't
that's
push
why
llama.
Yeah. But if you need some, I have some.
Oh, good
to
know.
Stuff a
all
pillow.
Right. Well, we're going to get into the crafty side to you, like your craft making. So, which is funny because I had questions about llama, which was like all the way down. So
she
it's
didn't
funny.
Finish your intro. Though.
I know she's going to go back to the intro, but we have jumped all ahead. We're all excited about
llama
the llamas, and already I can't wait to ask. So you have two llamas. One is named Flashy. What's the other one?
Moondance.
Oh, what nice.
That's
like
cute.
Is it Flashy, Cat Stevens?
Flashy is named Flashy, and he's registered.
Oh.
His name is Flashy because his human mom didn't know that Flashy's mom, llama mom, was pregnant. So it was a flash that he was born.
Oh, that's cute.
Nice. I had no idea where that story was going.
Not Flash. Me either. And you're like Flash. Like she had a baby in the Flash.
Okay.
Okay.
Moon
we're Dance was moon born dance. Under the moon.
Oh,
okay. That's nice.
Lovely.
And
all right.
Then we had Zippy.
Okay. Fun
which
names.
We had to put him down this year.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Because he's just zip, 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 zip.
Okay.
And Zippy is X-I-P-E. Had to be different.
And oh, then, my gosh. Okay,
then,
yeah. It's like Xerox. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we had Treacle.
What was that one?
Treacle.
Treacle?
T-R-E-A-C-L-E. It's like molasses in England.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, that got a little highbrow very quickly.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Spoons and
his colors were white and like caramel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
Colored.
Okay. So. All right, so we interrupted you. I know you still have a little bit more with your opening statement. I love that she came with a testimony, an opening statement.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
I've always done crafty things with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I continue to do so, but sadly she has passed on, so what better way to continue on this than doing crafts with those at the Passmore Center?
Mm-hmm.
I have a variety of crafts and will continue to do so. I think I enjoy it more than they do. We've taken a whisk, you know, from the kitchen.
Yeah.
And we've put leaves and llama wool inside the whisk and hang it on a tree for birds to make their...
Oh, cool. It's like nest making. Oh, neat. A craft that helps a bird do a craft. Sorry, that's like pay it forward, the craft forward. Sorry. Okay, go on. Love it. I'm writing this down so I can do it with...
Wow, you've done so many.
I'm drawing a blank. We did the Tree of Life made with buttons.
Right.
How do you make a Tree of Life with buttons?
You draw get a picture of a Tree of Life.
Yeah.
And then you just, the buttons are the leaves.
Oh, cool. I did it because I'm just coming off of a family reunion. We did one year a Tree of Life with our thumbprints.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably where the buttons go. So the thumbprints were the leaves, and then people wrote their, you know, what the generational relationship was. So you can do it with buttons. Nice.
Make it colorful.
She's looking at Alicia. Alicia,
know,
what are some
I
other crafts?
I have helped her with a few.
Yeah.
And I can't...
These are funky crafts, too. These are not
seed
your...
Seed balls. We did seed balls.
Literally no idea what a seed ball is.
It's, you take moist soil and flower seeds.
Right.
Is it moist soil, otherwise known as mud?
Yeah, it is.
I love how you said it so beautiful.
Or clay.
Moist. Okay, got it.
You cannot say... You know how we would say, put the dirt over there?
Yes.
If you say dirt...
Patty will hit me.
It's soil.
Oh, she is. She's giving
it's
me the evil
soil.
Eye, and she's doing that. She's doing that neck thing where you were like, cut it off. Okay, so soil.
Seabowl is.
Sorry.
So it's a
moist
clay.
Soil. I'm with you. I'm learning the language. Moist soil, and what do you do with it? They're both laughing at my non.
You roll it in a ball.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. I'm writing down. Mm hmm.
And you throw it out in your garden.
It dries first, right? You roll it in the ball with seeds.
Yeah.
Oh.
Flower seeds.
With what kind of seeds?
Flower seeds.
Flower seeds.
Oh.
And you throw it out where you hard to reach places, like in between the.
Yeah.
And then you get your.
And
flowers.
Why is it called a sea ball? Is it sea ball
seed.
Like. Oh, seed ball.
Seed.
I'm thinking SEA or SE. It's a seed ball.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and so that it's a way to kind of create wildflowers or like. That's helpful.
And places that you can't get in.
I live on a funky property where there's plenty of places where we can't get to. So, and then what kind of seeds do you do? I'm literally taking notes.
Whatever.
Here.
We did them once before with Janice for Green Day or something.
Yeah.
And I actually did them, and they.
What kind of seeds? Like flower seeds.
I used wildflowers.
Wildflower mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they turned out really in places that you just don't get back in the bag.
Okay. So I try to avoid major controversial topics on this show because I don't want this to become like a huge debate show, but it can because I need you to educate me. Why is saying dirt and mud controversial? Look, I'm making her laugh.
Dirt and...
What is so controversial? My kids are yelling at me that I don't say enough politically correct terms.
Soil.
So why is soil...
That's the first thing they teach you in a master gardener class.
I haven't even taken the minor gardener class. All right, that you don't call it dirt or mud.
It's soil.
It's soil.
Dirt is what you bring in the house with you.
Okay.
Dirt is what gets
on the
bottom
of your shoes.
Shoes, underneath your fingernails.
It's a disrespectful term. It doesn't have, so soil
has
an elegance. It has life.
Yes.
It has virtue.
That's right.
I love it. Okay.
Soil. It has life.
All right.
And then there's compost.
I will tell you, I'm ready to join the compost. I think for my 53rd birthday, I'm ready to start composting. Like, and my husband's like, what? Because we do have all this leftover stuff, and I don't want to deal with the worms or any of it. But anyway, tell
you
us about compost.
You will have worms.
Okay, I'm not doing compost. I'll take my scraps and give them to friends. I mean, we're here in Carrboro, which is like the compost
USA.
World.
You're right.
All right, so I'll give my scraps. All right, so
what
go
about
on.
Snakes?
So wait a minute. Does that mean you're not going to compost? You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it?
I'm not going to compost. No, what I want to do is I want to do something. I used to have dogs, and so the scraps, I just want to do something with our food scraps away. So it's
so
not
compost is out.
But I need to find someone that will take it. I can put it in a little, I have friends that compost. I'll bring over a little bag of trash. I'll be like, here you go.
Okay.
Or I'll go on, okay. So snakes. We have two snakes, not pets, but we have snakes that live right outside, black snakes that live right outside our door. But close, within 3 to 10 yards. And so my daughters named them Noodle and Spaghetti because they look like long. And so they're like, here's Noodle, and we'll take pictures and of the black snakes. And every once in a while I see something that I really think's a copperhead. Not a fan of snakes, but you had asked about snakes. How do you feel about snakes, Patty?
I don't do snakes.
There we go.
I'm from Michigan.
We've connected on this. So I did gardening once at our old house, and I felt really good about it, and I was sitting there with the gloves and looked all cute and was just doing easy weeding, and then later on that day there was a little snake, and I'm like, I'm out, I'm never doing it again. It's scary.
So Heather, it sounds like you're just not outside out there in the soil.
This is what Aging Well Together show is about. It's about what I don't do. Because Alicia, you had me on all the fitness classes of yours that I haven't taken. So
at the end of
the show, at some point, you're going to get me into your fitness classes.
Right.
And now Patty's going to get me
into
gardening.
In the soil, right.
All right, but you...
Can I ask you one more question? You didn't plant a...
This is Patty's show. It's not mine.
I know, but you didn't plant a tomato plant this year?
I did.
Okay.
You remember that.
Yay.
But here's why. Wow, you have a good memory. I decided I wanted to get into gardening, but I was scared of dirt. Soil. Gosh. And so I think it was for Mother's Day last year, my husband bought me one of these patio planter boxes.
Good.
So it has just a little bit of soil, and it's right out. It's just a little box. I mean, it's not that little, but it's a few feet, and you put a little bit of, soil in it, but it's not too crazy. And I did plant. We planted, and I think I got, of the whole summer, I think we got 3 tomatoes.
Well, that's good.
We did lettuce and I think some sort of peppers or something, and I don't eat pepper. Anyway, I tried.
You're in the club.
But we didn't do it this summer.
She's good.
I'm trying. I want to be.
That's 3 tomatoes you didn't have.
Yes, that is true. That is true. But so, and then my family at one point tried to do, was it blueberry or raspberries? But it just fed the deer.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
All right. So, but going back to you and snakes. So you said, you still need to finish your opening statement. I remember there were still more comments, but you were talking about soil and the seed balls. And so you are a huge gardener, but you're not into snakes.
No, I am not into snakes.
How do you avoid that?
Run.
So it's not like a llama.
It's not like a put some shake down pepper or something like that. You know.
No, I've encountered two. One was in the barn, and I wish to God that somebody would have been there with a video camera, because we have this big black fan over in the corner, and I saw this black thing on the floor, and I go, that's not the cord because it's too thick. So I went over to look at it, and the llamas, this is when we had the three of them, they're standing behind me, and I'm like, what is that? So I go up, and all of a sudden the thing comes out, and it starts going along the border of the wall and the floor, going all along, and then where the posts are, 6 feet apart, and that snake fit right in that 6 foot area. And I know I shouldn't have done this, but I got a shovel.
Okay, you gotta stop the story, because we'll get back.
We've just taken a dark turn. All right.
I know.
So let's go back to crafts. So okay. If you remember any, and then let's go back to the seed ball, which I'm totally going to do when we get home. That I like. That's nice. Like the idea of putting a bunch of stuff and then hurling it into the yard or the garden.
I used clay, but you can use, because the clay dried.
Yeah, the clay
and
dried.
And let it set and dry a couple of days.
And it's a good idea if you can till the area.
Okay, got it. So till being...
I didn't till the area. I threw mines out in the wilderness.
And move it. Like, around. What do you mean by till? Just, like, move around the dirt and kind of,
She doesn't want to go back that far in that area.
The whole point is we don't want to go there. We want to just throw stuff
it.
There.
I just want to throw it.
Do it. Try it.
Yeah, it worked. It worked for me. I didn't want to go out there like that either.
Where I threw mine, it was a bunch of red clay.
Oh.
Well, and then,
a bunch of red cement, I call it.
So, Patty, a lot of your crafts, it sounds like some of them are gardening themed crafts, some of them are not, like the button ones, but actually it is because it involves the tree of life. So, do you infuse landscape and garden love into all of your crafting, or?
I try to.
Yeah.
I try to. We made pictures using pansies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Drawing pansies in a book.
Yeah.
And then making a picture and setting up.
So you make a picture, and then how do you like Mod Podge it? How do you keep it?
I
love Mod Podge.
It's
shellacking.
You can Mod Podge it, and or just put a piece of glass on the top.
Oh, and it won't, like...
It'll fade.
Thank you. That's what I was looking at. It's like when people, you know, you have proms or weddings or other events.
A four-leaf clover that
clover.
I finally found.
Oh.
It took me forever.
You know, my neighbor next door to me has found so many four-leaf clovers.
I found the first one in my whole life, and I pressed it.
Oh, there you go. And then you can either cover it with glass or Mod Podge it.
Yeah.
All right, so you do all kinds of fun crafting. I want to give you a moment because I know you have a few more sentences.
Okay.
We're going to let, because then
I'll
have
keep
more
going.
Questions.
Yeah.
No, Alicia, we're going to let
her finish.
It'll be the last minute of the program and she'll finally get to finish her. I promised you we were going to be casual and easygoing. Okay.
Okay. This is it. Is every day uplifting? No. But sitting around feeling sorry for myself, I don't have time for. I have learned to adjust, that's in quotes, not give up. My words I like to live by, I have Parkinson's, it doesn't have me.
Nice.
Now this, I talked to a friend of mine last night, and she's got Parkinson's, she lives in Detroit, and we keep in touch. I was a facilitator for a support group for 8 years, and some of the people I still keep in touch with, but this one, Cynthia, is turned into be a really, really good friend. So that night we were talking about multitasking and things that we can't do, and how it's getting harder and harder. But she said, we have to pretend that we're each given a bowl with cherries in it. Mm-hmm. So we get the bowl of cherries, and then we give two bowls to you, too.
Oh.
You get the bowl with the sweet cherries, and we get the bowl with the sour cherries in the pits.
So what?
You're supposed to laugh.
Oh. Well, I was waiting for more.
You get it. Okay.
Well, now
okay.
We're laughing. I mean, it was a deep moment. We were respecting the depth of that.
You had to... you have to have PD, I guess, to really, I mean, we were laughing our heads off last night at that.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't want to laugh while you're doing a really honest.
Right.
You have shared. I know. You have shared so much, even just in our few moments together, about the impact that it's having, and you've been really vulnerable. So I didn't want to laugh at you, but yes, that is kind of funny.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Yes.
You have to. Key sense of humor.
Well, we're living in a time where people are so serious, like, you know, okay, she has Parkinson's.
I know.
Don't talk. She has Parkinson's.
No.
I know, it's the whisper.
No, it's more like I occasionally go to water walk, and a girl wants to help us in the garden. So she came up to me, and she's right in my face, and she goes, Patty, I would really like to work in the garden with you.
And she's pronouncing everything.
She thought you were hard of hearing as part of your Parkinson's, or that, you know, neurologically that there might be some cognitive issues.
And I said, why are you talking like that?
But people think that, you know, and they have to come to you a different way, rather than be natural. That's what we want you to be natural.
I know, and I'm so inspired by everything you're doing. You, I'm curious what motivates you. I love that your positive approach. I love that you're still trying to find joy and positivity in everything you do, and that you share that with so many in our community. What motivates you every morning besides your fun cherry jokes?
And that cat sitting on your head making sure you're breathing. She says she has a cat that sits there making sure she's breathing.
Funny, my cat was just napping with me right before I came here, so I think that happens with me too.
When I was first diagnosed, I came home to my husband and I told him to leave.
Oh, you told your husband to leave?
Yeah,
said,
right.
How did he
that
respond?
That wasn't
going to go over well. I said, you know, you've been through this with my mom. My mom had it, you know, for 27, 28 years. And you have a life to live, so I think you should leave.
Wow.
And he's just staring at me like, huh? He does this great, huh?
Because they're men.
Yeah.
And I told people I wasn't going to be my mom.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Sure.
But when she was diagnosed, there was nothing out there. I mean, Parkinson's
times
disease.
Times had changed, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what Parkinson's disease was. And my family has always been a bunch of jokester, except for my brother's brother. and, I mean, you just...
Wait a minute. You said my brother's brother.
Like brother-in-law?
No, my brother's brother.
Okay.
Like not your brother, your brother's brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Go on.
It's not like brother from another mother. It's my brother's brother.
Your brother?
No, my brother's brother.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we don't have to define that.
I'm letting it go.
Yeah.
All right. So, and this conversation you had with your husband, did you say you were diagnosed back in 2007? 2005. So that was 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you were only 6 years into your marriage. 7 years into your marriage. 27 years. Okay. Anyway, you were only a few years, 9 years into your marriage.
We got married in 95.
Yeah, I did the math wrong. But okay, so you're 9 years into your marriage. So that was 18 years ago. You said leave.
And then
he said no.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you now, 18 years later, and I know that you have some struggles, but you look fabulous.
And I just saw Dave, and he looks fabulous as well. But he's just not that type of man that would have. His personality is very.
His personality is, huh? Think about that.
His personality is like, have you lost your mind? You know, I'm in this to win this. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Is there a llama analogy? Like, you didn't run, so he didn't run. Like, you just stood still, and he just stayed by you.
I wish I had. My phone with me. There's a song. It's called, well, you can look it up, The Llama Song.
Oh.
And it is so funny. When we first moved here, I went to a movement disorder specialist that was referred to me. And then I saw him twice, and then he moved to L.A. So I was on a hunt for a doctor here. But I just wasn't happy with anybody. Because I had my doctor for 15 years. And so I called her up and I said, can I travel to Michigan to see you? She said, sure, absolutely. So I did for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And now it's just gotten to be too much. But she came in to see me one time, and she had an intern with her. And she's asking me all the, you know, typical medical questions, and she's laughing. And I'm like, this is serious, you know, why are you laughing? And she said, have you heard the llama song? And I said, no. And she goes, okay, stop. We got to listen to this first.
Which one is it, real quick? The Twames, the Burton Ernie, the... because I can play it, but I just don't know which one it is.
I'm
showing her. Folks, if you Google llama song, you actually get a number of choices.
And you can dance around the house with dance like nobody's watching off the llama song.
I'm thinking it's that one.
You think it's?
It would be almost like having too much fun.
Should I play it?
Is it almost like too much fun?
I don't know. Let's see if it's... I'm seeing if it... Okay. We'll see if we can get it going. But all right, so go on. So you and your friend... It gave you happiness.
Oh, that's it?
All right, I'm stopping it. Okay, so now we get it. We get a sense.
That's cute.
All right, I'm lowering.
It sounds like the chipmunks with deep voices.
Yeah.
We were not expecting. No. Okay, I can see why that made you cheery. Listeners, I hope you were able to hear a little bit of the llama song.
She played it for me. We were sitting there laughing, and her boss knocked on the door, came in, saw that we're all three of us are laughing, and yeah.
Well, that's therapy, which we need to laugh at more things that we can't change. I mean, what's wrong with, like you saying, you didn't want to bring up a lot of things. It was, when she said the end of it, it was like, okay, don't laugh at that. But sometimes it's, laughter is just like medicine.
But
it reaches digests.
Yes, and you have to find the humor and the joy if you want to find it.
Exactly.
My feeling is if the person themselves can find the humor and the joy, but what I don't want to do is like, oh, you have Parkinson's disease, let's make some jokes.
Right,
but
right.
Like, yeah. So
with
I'm
you.
Just
we laughing with
laugh
you.
With and but I continue. I love that through all of this you have stayed so active and that you keep finding all these creative ways to engage the community. Because it's not just that you're doing landscaping and master gardening work and crafting work on your own. You're doing this all at the senior centers. Mm-hmm. You're inviting people into your joy and saying, hey, I'm addicted. You're living with Parkinson's, but as you said, it doesn't define you.
Right.
I love that. Okay. So other things that I am curious, the whole master gardener, I heard that term, but I thought it was a professional term that people get and then are paid for. I didn't realize that is... Oh, okay, you're shaking your head. I didn't realize that's a volunteer term of those of you. So tell us a little bit about your journey and which came first, your diagnosis or the master gardening? Because it seemed...
Master gardening came first. I was working at the nursery, and I always wanted to take the class, but I worked for doctors in the past, and you know, the class was at 5 o'clock. Well, you never get out of a doctor's office at 5 o'clock when you're working there. So when I went to work at the nursery, my husband and I were putting a pond in our backyard, and we had to go get some fish and some other things for it. So we went to this nursery, and he says, look, they're hiring, they got a now hiring sign. And I looked and I said, yeah.
You want a job?
And I go, I got dirt all over me. Dirt.
You mean
I didn't say
soil?
Dirt.
I was like, what?
Dirt.
I
had
dirt.
From the pond.
And now that we got that straight.
But that's actually probably a good interview technique to go into a nursery
that's
and saying,
true.
Look, I'm legit. Look at the dirt
that's true.
Under
that,
my nails.
That's
I'm focused on this. Okay. They took one look at you and said, you are dirty. You've got the job.
You got the job.
Just about.
Ah, there you go.
I went in and I applied. This was a Sunday. And Monday I got a call just kind of going over what did I do. Am I a master gardener? No. You know, I just home garden. And they, still on the phone with them, they said, would you like the position? And I said,
wow.
Would I like to come in and interview? I mean, I was working at an ophthalmologist getting paid very well.
Yeah, no, they just offered you the job, yeah.
And they're telling me, okay.
Come in volunteer.
A quarter of your pay, but I accepted it. My husband was traveling at the time. I couldn't talk to him, so I just...
And he put you in that position anyway. He said, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So I went in, and I was told to go out into all the display gardens and start weeding. Okay.
Like, they just hired you on the spot and said, you're hired, go start weeding. Let's see. Okay.
So I went out and started weeding, and it was like 3 weeks later, finally... My boss, that I hadn't seen or met, was standing behind me as I was trimming a tree. And I said, are you Fred? And he goes, yes. He goes, you must be Patty.
Oh. Patty.
A new pronunciation.
Wow. No.
He says, you're doing fine. Keep it up. I said, okay. And he goes, flips his name tag over. He goes, I'm Fred Priest. I said, okay, I'm Patty. Nice to meet you, Patty. He's from England.
Oh, so he had a little bit of a British something-something.
I tell you, and he was in charge of all the display gardens. His daughter also works there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's high up on the ladder. So I walked around with him, and he was telling me what needed to be done. But I'm outside by myself weeding. I'm not in a stuffy office. And I was just like in heaven.
Oh.
And I went in and I said, how late do you want me to work? I didn't even have hours.
Yeah, they just put you right in. They were like, we'll take you. Interesting.
So that just led to...
So then you were paid. See, that is so funny when you... So, okay.
But I wasn't a master gardener at the time.
No, I know. You just... Okay.
So I started taking classes while I was working there because I could get out early. And they paid for it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And having master gardener person, master gardeners are they're great, but there are some I think they're too great.
There's an arrogance factor. Yeah. Some arrogance. When they get the word master gardener, Okay, so then you got the designation, and so the designation allows you either to work at a nursery, right? Or you, as you're saying, you did it as a volunteer. Or all master gardeners are, as you said, volunteers with the community.
Right.
Okay. Years ago, one of my dad's close friends, this couple, the wife, I'm pretty sure, and this is up in Massachusetts, they manage on highways, the medians, the wildflowers, mm-hmm. that are on the medians, and there was a whole beautification mm-hmm. of the highway system. And I heard it was a group of volunteers that were doing it. Is that somehow connected, the master gardener, where they're looking at public spaces?
My first master gardener project was at the end of my street. There was an island with two trees and two bushes, dead bushes. And you have to have 40 hours of volunteer hours, and I forget so many hours for education to be certified. Well, I looked down at the island, and I'm like, I can get the city to get rid of those mm-hmm. those dead bushes, kept the trees. I could do my master gardener project there.
Right,
so
your community service, like court appointed community service.
Yes,
go on.
So in Royal Oak, the city I lived in, you could get free compost. You just have to shovel it into your truck or whatever. So we made many trips.
Yeah.
My poor husband. Many trips.
You like Dave.
He got you.
I haven't met him, but I like Dave already. All right, go on.
Good.
And I made a, like a little snake. It wasn't a straight line. You don't do straight lines. I hate straight lines.
In landscaping.
Yes, I got that. I got that, which is great.
You'll see if, once you...
I know. Everyone's got to go to the Passmore Center. I mean, I was going to end, but okay. Right now, anyone who's listening, it's too hot. But at some point, when you cool off, go to the Passmore Center in Hillsborough. And it is hot in this room, and it's definitely hot when we step outside. Anyway, so we'll go see your work and your lack of straight lines. Continue. We interrupted her. This is what Alicia and I do. So you don't like. So you were in. You took the island and the compost. This is where
you were. I'm giving the duh look.
Because you took over the project. You said, if you give me compost and take away the bushes, I can do my master gardener hours.
So I did. I got. Made a little mound, put perennials down the center, and then annuals all around the border.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fred.
Fred.
Had.
Potty.
Fred had invented this thing called a grow tube.
Okay.
Oh, you brought those with you.
It's an 8-foot tube.
No. Yeah.
That's something.
Is it PVC pipe? What is it? What's a grow tube?
It's plastic. You know what a pansy pouch is?
No.
It's like a plastic bag that has pansies cut out.
Good to know. Go on.
A grow tube is just that. It's a long 8-foot green plastic bag.
Oh, plastic bag. Okay.
That has little
slit
triangles
slide?
That you slice with a
Are they razor. Slits?
Oh, wait, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then you take a flight of flowers and you push the flowers into these little slits, and it's got a watering system in it, and you can wrap it around a tree.
Oh, and they look so nice.
Okay,
I'll
check this out.
We used to have one in the back behind the Passmore Center.
Okay.
Entrance back there. You never noticed that?
Had one in the front,
I didn't notice that. I normally go through the back by the Soltis Day Program.
It was on the wall, and it was really
neat.
And it hit,
okay, yeah. I think I noticed everything looked beautiful, but I didn't really notice... like the intricacies of it. Okay, so you created that.
Mm-hmm. We put that around a couple of trees, and we had no way to water. I mean, I lived a block away, so we would fill up milk jugs and take them down.
And no fancy irrigation.
No fancy irrigation. No, it was apartments, but the managers would not allow us to use the water. Mm-hmm. So it was milk jugs for quite a long time. And there was senior apartments, so of course my husband and I love seniors, and we would do anything for them, so they would come out and say, can you plant this? I have this, I got this at the store. And Dave was down watering one morning, and this lady came out and she said, it was like 95 degrees, can I get you a cup of coffee, sir? And he goes, my name is Dave, not sir. She goes, can I get you a cup of coffee, Dave? And he goes, sure. Aww. So she goes, did you take cream? Yeah. Okay. So she goes out, goes back in, comes out with this cup of hot coffee in a 95-degree day. And she didn't have cream, so she put whipped cream on top.
Well, actually, that works. And I'm drinking my hot tea. There is a theory that if you drink hot things during hot. Okay. We have just... a few minutes left.
Well,
we
let me
have
ask Patty, is
two
it still
left,
there?
Yes.
You think it's still there?
No, it's when we moved.
Oh, okay.
I found out that my neighbor was going to take it over, and she always asked me for purple begonias. There's no such thing as a purple begonia, and it's red or white or pink.
Yeah, and I thought it was still there, and
no, I went in a rage and I ripped everything out and moved it to where we were living.
She said in a rage.
Okay. Now, I know we only have like 2 minutes left, but there is something else you're really active in that I want to be able to do a shout out, because I know it's really popular through the senior centers. I hear you also do the pickleball group.
Mm.
And just in case my dad's listening, I told him to listen. We always try to do a shout out in a different
That's
way to my
right.
dad, who's a big pickleball.
Yeah.
So tell the pickleball as a way of also inviting others to join you, because I know it's popular. Yeah.
Well, let me set you straight on that.
Yeah.
I am no longer a pickleballer.
Oh.
No. It's okay.
I have a...
My fact checker.
Ooh.
I have a gird at
Alicia. I thought you were still doing pickleball.
No, I have a bad shoulder that and I'm left-handed, and
okay,
my shoulder is like bone on bone, so I can't.
Well, you can be a pickleball cheerleader. How about that?
For others that are interested, I will just say there is pickleball for Parkinson's, and it's at both the Senior Center. Is it also at the Passmore Center? Do they offer it? But I know the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill offers it a few days a week.
It was.
It was at
do
the
not
Pass.
Know right. if, yeah.
if it's still there.
I have the Endless Possibilities catalog with me, but there's not enough time to check. But, folks, if you do enjoy pickleball and you have Parkinson's, or even if you don't, there are basically more modified supportive environments to do pickleball with at our senior centers. I'll stop there as my little PSA. Right? No?
Right.
Yeah, okay. She was looking at me like, I hope that's right. So we have just a moment left, Patty. I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show. You truly are, I love this, a strong and make things happen woman. I love that term. How do you feel about that term? Mm-hmm. And I know you do live an inspiring and motivational life for all of us, and especially those living with chronic conditions, to find still ways to experience joy and creativity and volunteering. And any last comments you have or hellos to Flashy and Moon Dance?
Thank you for having me. And Alicia, thank you for talking me into this.
I'm glad you came, Betty.
All right. Well, anything else you're about to say?
I was going to thank you again.
Oh, well, hey, you're welcome. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on another super fun Aging Well Together show. We're coming to you from 103.5 FM WCOM LP Chapel Hill in Carrboro. And now we'll let you listen to just a few more minutes of the fabulous Robert Bradford Quartet. Thank you.